This evening, I was thinking of the message that I would speak on, and I thinking, first of all, how that we've gone over a lot of things about prophecy. And there's things that I don't fully understand about it, and there's probably things that each one can say in this room I don't fully understand about it. And I just start out by saying, remember, 40 years ago, I've known Vern for probably longer than most people in this room. 40 years ago, Vern asked me, well, come on up. Well, there's a man up in Seattle that's speaking on prophecy. And it was Mr. Lundeen. And so we went up there and we listened to Mr. Lundeen present about the Assyrian and portions in Isaiah and so forth. And Vern, you know, he knows quite a little bit about prophecy now. He's quite thorough on it. But I remember coming back, he just shook his head. I don't understand what that man's saying. And I can't say that I fully understood either. But it's here a little, there a little, and you attain to it. But the message that I have for you this evening is not something that's complicated. It's not something that you have to really dig out of the Scriptures, because God wants to present it to you this evening in the simplest form that even a child can believe. And I'd like to just turn to the first verse as the verse that most of the time when we think about the gospel, we think about John 3:16. So let's just read that verse. And I'm sure that everyone in this room has heard John 3:16. For God so loved the world, and has often been said, each one of you is included in this portion here. God loves you. There's no question about it. God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't this a wonderful message that we have? Another scripture says the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. God the Father, he was so interested in you that he sent his beloved Son into this world. And he sent him here not to just come here, but to go to the cross and die. What wondrous love, what great love. And he has that love for you this evening. And this is the essence of the gospel message that I want to present this evening. God loves you. He cares for you. And he displayed this in his Son and what his Son did on Calvary's cross in dying for your sins. The sins that you committed, that you might be able to be with him in glory forever and ever. These addresses that we've had in prophecy, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you should think, am I going to be in that judgment? Am I going to go into that tribulation? Am I going to be there when Satan is cast down into this world and all the judgments of God come upon this world? Am I going to be part of that world? You need to ask yourself, both young and old, because you have to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a relationship with your parents. Maybe you have a relationship with a friend. But do you personally know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's the only thing that's going to keep you from this terrible judgment that's coming. The wrath of God is going to be revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. You don't want to be down here for this terrible time. It's going to be a horrible time. You know, when I was a child, That's one of the things that probably I worried about in my childhood more than anything else. Because I knew that the Lord Jesus was going to come back down. He came the first time as a Savior. And the Savior is still being offered to you this evening. But you know, He's going to come to judge. And I knew him as a boy that the Lord Jesus was going to come to judge. I was sure of this, no question in my heart. And from the addresses that we've had the last 2 days, you can be sure that there's going to be judgment. And it's going to fall upon you if you don't know Christ. I was in terror many times because I was afraid that I would come under the judgment of God. Do you have the confidence that you won't come in the judgment of God? Well, let's turn to 1 John, the 5th chapter. You know, there should never be a question in your mind in relationship to your eternal destiny. John, 1 John 5, 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. God sent this message to you that you might know, because God wants you to know. He doesn't want you to be uncertain, but He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know His beloved Son. In the same chapter it says that he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. As many have said, there's no middle ground down here. You either have life or you don't have life. You either know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior or you don't. Ask yourself in honesty this evening, because if you don't know Christ as your Savior and the rapture should happen tonight, you'll go into that 7 years of tribulation. A terrible time. A time that it says that men will seek death and they won't find it. It's going to be so terrible. Seek death, but they can't find it, because the wrath of God is being poured out upon them. Let's turn back to Matthew, the first chapter. I think it's the first chapter I want. And I've been thinking a little bit about the name of Jesus. Because in Acts it says, there is none other name under heaven given unto men whereby ye must be saved. And in Matthew, we have that name presented to us in the first chapter here. Matthew 1:21, and this is when the Lord Jesus was born to the Virgin Mary. And the 21st verse, and it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus. In 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and the 16th verse, it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory. God was manifest in the flesh. We go down and we see in the 23rd verse a quotation from the Old Testament. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. God with us. The Son of God became a man. Became a man. Why did he become a man? So he could go to Calvary's cross and suffer there as a holy, spotless Lamb of God for you and for me. And it says in the 25th verse, the last phrase of it, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus. That blessed name. Now let's turn over to the Gospel of Luke, I believe it is. I want to look at for a second here. No, I want to go over to John first. The Gospel of John and the first chapter. We find here in Matthew him coming to his own people. He came to the Jewish nation. Because really, the Gospel of Matthew is a gospel to the Jews. To the Jews. And why did he come? It says, let me turn back. You don't have to turn back to it. But in that first chapter, it says why he came. To save his people. For he shall save his people from their sins. And we find that in Romans chapter 5, and I think it's verse 12, it tells us what we are, why he came to us. Not 12, but verse 8. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners. Now this is just not Jews. We read about the Jews there in the first chapter of Matthew. But this is talking to the Gentiles. In Romans 3:23 it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every last one in this room is a sinner. And you're either a saved sinner or you're a lost sinner. You're either saved and you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and you know that your sins are washed away, or you're a lost sinner. But here it says, God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, we all have an old nature that we inherited from Adam. Every one of us. And we can't deny this. It was mentioned this afternoon by our brother Dave in regards to the millennium. That here, the last test of man, the most perfect situation that man could be placed into, he failed. Because man is totally depraved. There's nothing in ourselves that can commend us to God. In simple words, there's nothing that can get you into heaven by your own merits. We have a lost nature, an old Adam's lost nature. Now he came to his own, the Jewish people, and they didn't accept him. It tells us when he presented himself to them in the Gospel of Luke that they tried to thrust him over a hill, side of a hill, because they didn't want the Lord Jesus. They didn't want their Messiah. And so they sought to kill him when he first presented himself to them. They hated him. But you know, God says in his word here in John chapter 1, he came unto his own, the 11th verse, his own people, and his own people received him not. And you know the story how the Lord Jesus was rejected They cried out there at Calvary. They cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him! We won't have this man. We won't have this man to reign over us. We've rejected him." But in this next verse it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power, a right or authority to become the sons of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And that's really all that you have to do this evening, is simply trust him. Believe on his name. You know, I told you when I was a child, I was terrified to think that I possibly would be judged by God. And I knew I would be, because I knew I was lost. You know, you can't lie to God. I remember a friend of mine, his name was Eddie Lonigan, and he came up to me one day, and he and his brother had been going to a Methodist Sunday school, and Eddie asked me quite frankly, he said, "Alan, are you saved?" And I thought, what can I say to him? And I had to be honest with him. "Eddie, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. I don't know Christ as my Savior." I want you to be honest this evening. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Because God knows your heart. Your heart is open before you. It says in Hebrews, "All things are open and naked unto him with whom we have to do." There's nothing hidden from him. And it's wonderful that nothing is hidden. He sees everything about you. But what's more wonderful is that he still loves you. He still loves you, and he wants you. What a wonderful thing that is. But here, this is an invitation for you to come to him. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And that's all you have to do, is believe on his name. When the Philippian jailer was terrified because of the earthquake, and people do become terrified when there's an earthquake, because there's nothing that they can do. In the Old Testament, it tells us about an earthquake back there in the days of Uzziah, when they fled from the earthquake, it was so bad. And many of us in this room, we've been in earthquakes. And I remember an old man that my dad rented a gas station from. We had a bad earthquake back in about 1949, 7.2. And this old man came up the day after the earthquake had occurred, and he made mention of this to my dad. He said, "The Almighty really shook us up yesterday." And he was serious about it. He was serious for that time. Soon he went back to his old ways. But God was speaking to him. And oft times in these catastrophes, whether they be an earthquake or flood or so forth, God is speaking. God is speaking. You know, we don't really know how long we have. Whether death should come, or should the Lord come? We don't know how long we have. There's a song we often sing, "Life at best is very brief. It's like the falling of a leaf. How long does it take a leaf to fall down to the ground?" You don't know what's going to happen. And sometimes in the most situations that you'd never expect it. I remember one time, and I can say these experiences not only through the goodness of God that I'm still here. I remember one time I'd gone up skiing, and I'd gone past the entrance to the ski area, and I couldn't back up. I couldn't get enough traction on my tires. And so I had to put my chains on. Here comes a big truck with a semi-trailer behind it. And at that time, I-90 was only two lanes going across the pass there. And that truck was coming down, and it would go bang on this side on the snowbank. And it would go bang on the other side with that trailer. Thank the Lord, when it came down to the car, it hit the other side. Otherwise, it would have wiped me out. I had nothing to protect myself. I couldn't get away from there. I had another time that I was junking out an old car. I had an old Studebaker, and I was taking the differential out from underneath it. And I had it, everything out. And I looked up under there, and I saw, oh, there's a bracket up under there that I'd like to take. And so I jacked it back up on one little bumper jack. And I thought, well, I don't need much to get under that car. I'll just be a moment taking a bolt out, and I'll be out from underneath there. I got underneath there, and I got that bolt out, got that bracket off. That car came down. Now you're a hair width away from eternity. It's only the goodness of God that I'm still up here. And I imagine there's many in this room can tell you of experiences that have happened to them. So, you know, why do we speak that there's an urgency? There is an urgency about the gospel. There is an urgency about you accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, because Scripture says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Today, this very night, this is the time that you need to decide for Christ. Decide for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's turn back to Matthew, and we'll turn to the 27th chapter. And I told you, I'm just going to look at some verses that speak using the name of Jesus. For there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. So let's turn to chapter 27. And this is a chapter about the crucifixion. And I think we'll just read it very simply. 27, verse 34. Well, let's begin up a little bit. 33rd verse. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him. Crucified him. And you need to think what suffering this one had here when they crucified him. This was the one, he was the only begotten Son of God. He was the one that created the heavens and the earth, that sustains him too. And yet he allowed himself to be crucified. He allowed men to take him and to drive those nails through his hands, to drive those nails through his side, and put him up on a cross. Why did he allow that? Simply because he loves you. He loves you. I'm not talking to anyone in this room but you. You individually. Because that's how God comes. He comes to individuals. And we see it in the Gospels, how the Lord Jesus, He came to individuals. And that's what He's doing this evening. He's coming to you individually. Let's just continue reading here. And they crucified Him and parted His garments and casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted My garments amongst them, and upon My vesture they cast lots. And setting down, they watched Him there. They watched Him there. And set up over His head His accusation written. And here's the name. This is Jesus. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. This is Jesus. Then were there two thieves crucified with Him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled Him, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. He could have come down. He says in another place that He could have called 12 legions of angels. He could have spoke the word, and everyone around there would have been destroyed. But no, He came in love. His heart, the heart of the Lord Jesus, is full of compassion. Read the Gospel of Mark sometime. See how many times the word compassion is used. He looked upon people, and He looked upon them with compassion. He cared for them. Just like He cares for you this evening. We have a God that cares. There's many other religions that have gods, but do they really care? No. They really don't. But the true God, He cares. Because these other gods are merely idols. They're things that God, man has made up. But the true God manifested Himself and His heart, His great heart of love, and His great heart of care for you and for me. Let's go down to the 41st verse. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking Him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. If He be the King of Israel, let Him now come down from the cross, and we will believe Him. If He would have come down, they would have been destroyed, and we would have had no Savior. If He be the King of Israel, let Him come down from the cross, and we will believe Him. He trusted in God. Let Him deliver Him now, if He will have Him. For He said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with Him cast the same in His teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. And we know during this time is when God poured out the wrath upon the Lord Jesus Christ's head for our sins. This is a time when the Lord was suffering for my sins. So there was darkness for 3 hours over the face of the earth. And He had taken sin unto Himself. On Himself. He was that sinless one because He did not know sin. There was no sin in Him. There was no thoughts of sin in His mind. You and I, we walk around every day and There's thoughts of sin in her mind. But there was no impure thoughts in this Holy One. He was the spotless Lamb of God, undefiled in every way. But there on the cross, he took on our sins upon himself. He took upon him your sins. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli." The Lord Jesus was, during these 3 hours, he was forsaken of God. You know, sometimes some people are forsaken of their parents. Sometimes of their wives and husbands. Sometimes of their children. It's a terrible thing. But here, this one that was had been eternally with God, ever in his presence, ever in the bosom of the Father, he cried out these words, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because of the sin. He became sin for us who knew no sin. He took on himself there our sins. And some of them that stood by, when they heard that, they said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come." Elias was one of the Old Testament prophets. He's the one that was caught up to heaven by a fiery chariot. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. The Lord Jesus gave his life. He willingly gave his life. Man didn't take it from him. And another portion, if we would turn to it, we read how that he came to give his life. And that he would give it, he would take it up again. Now after this, we read about him being buried in a grave, in the tomb of Joseph. And then, I want to turn to Luke to look at the resurrection. Because I like to follow this name, Jesus. Other names will be forgotten. I've been with a lot of people over my lifetime. I've managed a lot of people in the post office. And I've had people from different nationalities and different countries, and boy, I had a hard time remembering their names. But you know, the name of Jesus will never be forgotten. It'll be through all eternity. Now, in Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 36, here we had the Lord's disciples gathered together, the 11. You know, there was 12. There was one that betrayed the Lord, Judas. He wasn't there. He had gone out. And he'd hung himself. He had committed suicide. There was 11 here. Because this one didn't have faith, but these here, they were followers of the Lord. And they knew who the Lord was. And they had accepted him. And while they were gathered in this room, and they were talking, because the Lord had appeared before this time to Simon Peter, one of the apostles, Maybe we could pick it up there in the 34th verse, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. This is the two that had gone, that he had appeared to on the way to Emmaus. Another appearing of the Lord. But this 36th verse is where I want to start. As they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." This same one that had died on Calvary's cross, this same one that had given up his life there, here he was in the midst of his disciples, alive. He had raised from the dead. God had raised his beloved son from the dead. Other portions of Scripture we find that he raised himself, and the Spirit of God was optical in this resurrection too. But here, a living Lord was with these disciples. Jesus himself. Not an imitation. Not a spirit. Here was the Lord Jesus Christ. Flesh and bone. His blood was poured out on Calvary's cross, so there was no blood in his veins. The blood of Jesus Christ. Let's look at that a verse in 1 John while we're talking about blood. verse 7, the last part of it. "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." He didn't have any blood in his veins at this time because he had poured it out for our sins. "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins." Whatever sins you have, he can cleanse them this evening. Every last one of them, from the smallest to the greatest. And let me remind you that one sin will keep you out of heaven. One sin will cast you into a lost eternity. But the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse that one sin or as many sins that you have. Anyway, let's go on here. He testifies to them that he is real. And he is rose victorious over the grave. He says here in the 38th verse, well, 37th, "But they were terrified and frightened, supposing they had seen a ghost," seen a spirit. You know, people are terrified of the unknown. But God does not want you to be terrified of himself. He wants to be intimate with you. He wants to be your companion. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your Savior. And he says unto them, "Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet." He had those wounds there that he was wounded on the cross. He still carries them, because we read in Zechariah where in a coming day they'll ask him, where'd you get these wounds? Where'd they come from? The wounds will still be there. And it tells us in Revelation that in the midst of the elders is a lamb that had been freshly slain. The wounds are still there. "Behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Well, he gives more testimony than that. Not just that they had the eyes testimony and the feeling testimony, but he says, while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of boiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. So here's the Lord Jesus. We don't preach a dead Christ. We don't preach a Christ that's still on the cross here this evening. We preach a Christ that rose victorious. A living Christ. A living man that's in heaven at the right hand of God at this time. And soon he'll come again. Now, let's go over to Acts, the first chapter. Acts, the first chapter, and this is where he shows himself to his disciples again, just before he's taken up into heaven, before he ascends up to heaven. A ninth verse, and when he had spoken these things, and while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, the very one that died on Calvary's cross, the very one that rose from the dead, this same Jesus. This same Jesus shall so come, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. This same Jesus. You know, who are you going to have to deal with if you reject Christ this evening? You know, there's a day when God's going to judge every man. Every man's going to stand before God and be judged. If you don't know him as your Savior, you're going to stand before him as a judge. Every lost man, every man that's still in his sins is going to be judged for his sins. And this same one is going to be the one that's going to judge you. This same Jesus that hung on the cross. I want to turn to a book, a portion in Revelation. It's almost, our hour is almost gone. At the end of the book of Revelation, has the name changed any? No. Revelation 22 and verse 16. I, Jesus. He is a man. He'll eternally be a man. He's eternally God too, but he's God manifested in flesh. The very one that loves you. This same Jesus. You know, he wants you to come to him this evening because he really has that heart of love and compassion. He stands with arms open wide to each one in this room. He's calling to you this evening. He's saying, come unto me. Come unto me. We read in Matthew chapter 11, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, all ye that are burdened with sins, the Lord wants you. He wants you to come to him and be saved. And salvation is so simple. Let's turn to Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Does that include you? Yes, it does. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's one other whosoever I want to look at, and that's in Revelation, the 20th chapter. This whosoever that we just read about is available to you this evening, and you can put your name there. You can claim Christ as your Savior and know Him that loves you so much. But there is another whosoever, and that's found in this 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. We've read a lot in the book of Revelation during this last 2 days about prophecy. But here's the last great event. And I saw a great white throne, 11th verse, and him that sat on it, from whose face earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell was delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And then here's a whosoever. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Isn't that solemn and sad? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Remember the verse I used earlier in 1 John. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's what it comes down to. It doesn't come down to your works, because it tells us here that these people were judged according to their works, and they were all cast into hell. But if you have the Son of God, then you have eternal life. You know your sins are forgiven then, and you know that you have a home in heaven in the presence of God. Isn't that a more wonderful place to be than the face, this great white throne? Because you know who's going to be on that throne. It's going to be the very one that hung on Calvary's cross, the Son of God. He's the one that's going to judge, because it tells us all judgment is committed unto the Son. But you this evening, He doesn't want to judge you. He wants you to accept Him and accept the sacrifice that He made for you, the atoning death that He accomplished on Calvary's cross. He wants you to accept Him. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's all you have to do, is believe on Him with the heart. It's not being baptized. It's not doing anything else, but it's merely accepting Christ as your Savior. So I urge you this evening, do this. Do this. Don't wait. You don't know what a day will bring forth. Flee from the wrath to come. Flee to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ.